Heavenly Father, we are poor and wretched. We are weak and wounded. We are needy apart from Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we have received such an amazing blessing, such an amazing privilege, such amazing grace as you have poured out such a salvation for us who are so needy through your beautiful and glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you would help us to love him more today, to be more eager to display our glorious Savior to the weak and wounded, needy and poor all around us. You would give us hearts for the lost as they are running towards hell blindly in their sin. Help us, O Lord, to have grace in our hearts and compassion, Lord. So, Father, would you this morning stir us up to love you more, to love Jesus more, and to seek to be more useful in the lives of those who are around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, so we are still in this study, a little bit more loosely connected to the Sam Waldron book, The End Times Made Simple. I'm in a chapter in his book called Sheol, Hades, and Hell, but I'm probably taking more of my material for Anthony Hokema's book, The Bible in the Future, and Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology was also particularly helpful this week. So I've actually changed this study is The Intermediate State of the Wicked. That's our happy subject. Last time we talked about the intermediate state of the believers. So what is the intermediate state? What is that referring to? Dan? Right, so it's this time between death and the resurrection. That's the intermediate state as opposed to the eternal state, which is the time after the resurrection where it is eternal. Anthony Hokema writes in his book, it says the Bible says very little that's specifically about the intermediate state. And what it does say about it is incidental to its main eschatological message about the future of man, which concerns the resurrection of the body. That eschatological word is a big word. That just means the main thrust of the biblical material is the eternal state. That's the end. Eschatological is a study of the end. The big idea is the resurrection. Whoa, I hit a button. What'd I do? Oh, I see something over there. Hello? Let's try that again. Does something wiggle? Oh. We're going to have fun without the... We'll be in your Bibles a lot today, which is supposed to go very quickly. All right. Well, if that comes back to life, it'll be quicker today, but we'll see if it doesn't. All right. Let's see if we can... Well, I'll have my notes anyway. So the big idea is the end, the resurrection, and the judgment transitioning us into the eternal state. And the Bible's more clear about that. That's mainly the Bible focus, is where's your end? And it does actually says only little bits with hints about this time between death and the resurrection. Now, Pastor Volo, last time we did the study, he taught about the intermediate state of the believer. So who remembers some of the things? What is the intermediate state about the, what did we learn about that? The intermediate state of the believer. What did we learn about that? Rob?
Soul is separated from the body.
All right, so that it's spiritual from us. So that's good, right? So it's where our souls, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. So where our souls, our spirits are with the Lord. Mike? Right, so the condition is we're perfectly righteous, we're at peace with the Lord. What else did we learn? I find some odd things about this. The oddness, who is there primarily? What is the goal of our intermediate state? Who are we with? With the Lord. Now, is the Lord a spirit or is he physical? Well, he is God, so he is still a spirit, but does he have a physical body? So Jesus, and I want you to think about it, he has a physical body. He can't not have that physical body. He's resurrected. So he is somewhere. Heaven, you can't just think of heaven as just this ethereal place, but it is actually a place where the physical Jesus is, plus Enoch and Elijah. They're physically someplace in the universe. How strange is that to think about? Now, I think it's an assumption that we can rightly make that you can't actually navigate there. You could explore the universe from top to bottom and you could not find this place unless God brought you into this place. But Jesus is somewhere. But we're with him in spirit. Now, and when, if we don't have bodies, what is where to us? What does that even mean if you don't have a physical presence? But still, that's the Bible's, we're with him. All right, so we have to put that together. That's why we talk about the physicality of heaven even now, because there is a physical Jesus there now. And as strange as that may sound, that's the way it is. We're having no success here. Oh, it's coming like there. Let's see if we're not connecting here.
Not
oh, good. That's fine. That's fine. Thank you, Dan. I can push the buttons, but I don't want anything more than that. Oh, no, this is no good. Oh, that's good. I saw a blink. Excellent. Let's see if we can escape this. Well, we'll see. Drat. All right, well, anyway. Oh, ha-ha. Okay. All right. So we learned last time, it's where Christ is now, so it's going to be physical. There is a physicality to it, though we are spirits. We're not going to be physical there. We're going to be there, but we go there immediately after death into his presence. This is where we will be, absent from the body, and the condition, as Mike was saying, is we're aware. So it's not we're not unaware. We're actually conscious as spirits. We're at rest. We're righteous. We relate with others, and we will reign with Christ. Some of the things we learned about last week. Was that what I said there? Oh, but that's not the end. This is not the big goal. And what we even learned last week was mainly sort of incidental little pieces about somebody saying something or hinting something, and we get this sort of picture of what is life now. Because this is not the goal. It's not right. Our great hope isn't to be a disembodied spirit. Our great hope is to have a resurrected body like Christ, to live forever with him in the new heavens and new earth. But there is this state to consider. Now, some have argued that there cannot be an intermediate state. They have argued that how can you have a difference between how someone's treated if there's never been a judgment? If the judgment day is in the future, how can you condemn someone or reward someone if there's not a judgment? And that's a very interesting question. Just the Bible doesn't pose that question. It doesn't seem to be a problem with God. God seems to be able to handle that no problem. We might think that's an issue, but God doesn't. We see in the Bible that there's an awareness that our spirits are absent from the body. There's a difference between how the wicked and the righteous are treated immediately upon our death. Murray?
And it would seem, none of this is simplistic of any of this, but it would seem that God being above time and knowing all, it just doesn't complicate his mind to know who's in and who's out.
It certainly doesn't. God knows all things, so yes, God knows every name that is in the book of life and every name that is not. And so it doesn't seem to be a problem with God. So as we think about these things, we try to noodle through these things. We say, what about? Sometimes we have to say, look, this is what the Bible says. And I know you think it might be a problem for you, but guess what? We're not God, so we don't have to figure that out. Mike? Yeah. Amen. We will be complete, and we are complete in Christ now. These are things that we just can't understand fully, but this is where we are. So we take the Bible as it is. So now, this is what we talked about last time. Now this time, we're going to be talking about the intermediate state of the wicked. So now, why should we talk about this? Are we going to just glory? Oh, good, the bad folks are going to get theirs. Let's be happy about that. Or should we rejoice in suffering? No, of course not. I mean, we should. There's a rightness to say our God is a God of justice, and perfect justice will be accomplished. And there's a rightness to that. Every wrong will be made right. And eternal punishment is the perfect justice of God. And in that reality, we can say where God is doing all that is right, and we can worship him for being a God of justice. But as I mentioned at the very, very beginning, as I even was introducing the song, I want us to be thinking about this topic. We look at it, because this is what's in the Bible. The Bible is a practical Bible about the reality of our world. It's truth. And the reason we study this is so that we would know the truth, so that this truth will move us to share the gospel. We look at this reality clearly in the face so that we don't have false hope or false wishes. We don't make up stuff. We say, what does the Bible say? So we can face the world as it is to see that there is really this desperate need. And so we bring the gospel, and that's going to help. This study should move our hearts with compassion to be more eager to share the gospel, the good news of life in the face of this unimaginable darkness and death. There is no help apart from Jesus Christ. Let's share Him. But also, as we study this, this is the result of sin. So let's hate our sin more. Let's fear sin more. Sin is what leads people to hell. Hell is the right end of sin. And we play with sin and act like it's not a big deal. We're playing with something that rightly should lead us to hell. And the Bible teaches us if we play with sin and don't repent and just get swallowed up by that, it can maybe prove that we're not a Christian at all, and it will lead us to hell. So don't play with sin. Hate sin. Fear sin. Sin is a bad thing. So let this truth move us to share the gospel, but to hate our sin more. But let's let this truth move us to love our Savior more. Let's consider that this should be our end, except for Jesus Christ died for our sin. He took that punishment upon Himself so that we can be liberated from this horrible topic we're going to be talking about today. And it's a miserable, gloomy, sad topic. We have been redeemed from that because of Jesus. So let's love Jesus more. So these are some reasons for us to study and think about the intermediate state or even the eternal state of the wicked. I'm always in the way of somebody. I'm sorry, in your way there. Okay. So for today, what we're going to try and do is actually really focused. I have a very specific goal, and it's really to look at two main words, Sheol and Hades. These are the words that the Bible uses to just kind of describe this state. The word Gehenna in the New Testament is usually translated hell. Almost all the books that I'm reading, they say that's really referring primarily to the eternal state. So we're not looking at the hell word, Gehenna. We're looking at Sheol and Hades. We're going to have a very focused study and to see what do those words mean. What are they referring to? I might say this again at the end if we have time. It's not wrong to use that hell idea and what the Bible teaches about hell to give us an idea about the intermediate state. It's just that's not what we're doing today. We're doing what does the Bible specifically say about this particular state? And we'll see it's not a whole lot. And we're going to have to work through some things here. We'll see the Bible only deals with this slightly. Okay, so we're going to have a very focused. So what we'll do as we look through these words, these two words particularly, Sheol and then Hades, we'll derive some truths from that. We'll walk through what is this teaching us. And then if we have time, and I hope we will, we're going to have a problem text that we're going to dig into. And I have a couple of motivations for digging into this here because this is actually going to be in 1 Peter. So we're going to have to preach through this. So I'm going to help you guys understand it before I have to preach through it in a few weeks. So. If we get there. Okay, so let's jump into Sheol. Sheol. All right, it's a Hebrew word found throughout the Old Testament. You guys have seen the word Sheol, go down to Sheol, Sheol. What does this word Sheol mean? Well, it has a lot of shades of meaning. But first, I'm going to do is going to start, what's the basic meaning? And then how does that word start being used to bring in some other meanings? So let's look at the basic meaning of Sheol. I'm going to have to move. Sorry, I'm going to go over here so I can see, and then you can see too. Okay, this is better. Not anybody's way over here? Good. All right. Genesis 37:35. Now, this is Abraham. He just learned that his sons had told him that Joseph was dead, and he's mourning. He says, then all his sons and all his daughters, Abraham's daughters, arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son. So his father wept for him. So what is Sheol? What do you think that's kind of referencing there? Chuck?
You said Abraham and Jacob.
I did. Of course I did. Thank you for the theology there. Right. So he's going down into... Now, Hebrew has a very specific word for grave that's different. So Sheol has that grave idea, but it's where the dead go. And so the grave would be like the physicality of it, and this is kind of this sort of idea of where do the dead go. You bring me down to the dead, the place of the dead. We see that in 1 Samuel 2:6, the Lord kills and makes his life, he brings down to Sheol and raises up. So grave or place of the dead is kind of what that main idea is. And so the grave is the physicality, but it seems to be more of like this whole realm, like where the dead go, the realm of the dead. Or the grave more physically. So we're going to see that as the basic idea. And I think generally, because there is another word for grave, Sheol has this idea of realm or place of the dead, where the dead go. That's Hannah speaking there. After she was given a son, she's praising the Lord. The Lord kills, makes lives, brings down to Sheol. Right. All right. So it's the realm of the dead, with the idea grave is often packed into that. So this is the realm of the dead, or the place below. So remember how Pastor Volo taught last time that heaven, they're the three heavens. It's like the place above. You got this, the sky.